Well, I want to share with you just one passage in the book of Mark, the 8th chapter and the 34th verse. But the backdrop of this is Jesus was calling disciples to himself. And the first group was Andrew and Peter. And he sees them fishing and he calls out to them. He says, "Hey, fellas," in paraphrasing, he said, "Follow me. Come, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Why did he want them to be fishers of men? Because God cares about people. He cares about people, and he raises us up so we can care about what he cares about. And then he takes it further in Mark, the 8th chapter, in the 34th verse, and this is the New King James Version. He says, "When he had called the people to himself with the disciples also," in other words, he was calling the crowd to his disciples and himself, "he says unto them, whoever desires to come after me or follow me, let him," help me read, and wow. Now, y'all sounded kind of like we muddled this part. I'm going to try one more time. "Whoever desires to come after me or be my disciple, let him do what? And well, we're going to talk about Christ followers today as we pray. Father, thank you so much for your love and kindness. Thank you, God, for this is the day that you've made, and we rejoice and we're glad in it. Thank you, God, we feel your presence, and there's nothing like your presence. So may your presence be rich upon us and in our lives. Speak to us. Get the glory today, God. That's our prayer. And Father, we ask it in the matchless name of Jesus. And those who agree with that prayer, why don't you give them your best praise in the house right now? Thank you, God. Amen. Amen. So as we've been looking at this particular passage and recognizing that God, when he was calling his disciples, and even when he was calling to the crowd, he's searching hearts, and he sees past our surfaces or what's on the outside, and he sees the potential that's down on the inside of us. And how do we get to that potential? We recognize we've got power, we've got greatness on the inside of us, but there's a process, and there are no shortcuts to this process. What does that mean? That means that you've got to go through the process that Jesus takes us on this journey, and that journey is called that faith journey. And it's a good thing when he invites us to go on this faith journey. And when we say yes to his will, yes to his invitation, he takes us on this faith journey of coming closer to him, doing what he does, and then walking in faith. He says, "I'll make you fishers of people." Now he takes us further in this particular passage of Mark 8 and 34 on what it means. First time he tells the disciples, he says, "Come," or in other words, "come closer to follow me, and then I will do the making. I will make you." It's a wonderful thing that he said he would do the work. We just have to follow him and allow him to do the work, and he'll use us in the work, but he's the one doing the work. Amen? Because it's Christ on the inside of you that's the hope of glory. And when I see this passage, let me just say this. Oftentimes we think that Christianity is about being a part of a church, and there's nothing wrong with that. We think Christianity goes, so let me just go here. We're talking about what it means to be a Christ follower or a follower of Christ. Not just a Christian, but what does it mean to be a follower of Christ? Because some say, well, I'm not a Muslim and I'm not a Hindu, so I must be a Christian. Folks, it don't work like that. Can't he get a witness? You know, I have a relationship with God, and he's calling us not only for us to receive him in salvation, but he also wants us to walk with him as his disciple. Disciple goes beyond just saying, "I come to church." Well, I told you my story last week. What was my story? I was in church, but I really had not made Christ my Savior. And the questions came to me. One of the questions was, "Are you a believer?" "Yeah, I believe, kind of, sort of. But, I'm not all into it. I'm not a fanatic, if you will." Some even say that. But I think it's okay to be fanatical about Christ. I think so. That's okay, two or three. Because when I see people on sports, man, they are fanatical about what they believe in. Painted in red, painted in blue, they bodies. I saw jiggling people out there that should have had a shirt on. They were like, "Go team, go." I was like, man, oh man. I sit next to people in the stands that we were both cheering for the Chicago Bulls at the time when Michael was playing. And I got good tickets. This dude's there. And he hit a three-pointer, won the game. And we here we are jumping up. We don't even know each other. We're hugging each other. And then we had to say, oh, yeah, we're good, we're good. But I'm letting you know that it's okay to be fanatical about what you believe in. Can I get a witness? Let's give him a fanatical praise right now. Thank you, Jesus. So what does it mean to follow Christ? And I'm glad that you ask. It means that, you know, it goes beyond, you know, my parents went to school, went to a Christian school. It goes beyond I'm a good person. It goes beyond the fact that I prayed once when I was in trouble. It goes beyond I sang the song they were singing. And because the scripture says in the book of Matthew, it says this, and it says, many will say in that day, you know, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I cast out devils and do other miracles in your name? And he'll say, depart from me because I never knew you. So it goes beyond going through the surface stuff, and you have to have a relationship with the Lord in your heart. That's why he says, you know, by grace you are saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. No one, he says, if you would confess it, your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved, because with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You must be born again. Can I get a witness? That's what he's calling us to be born again. That means the old me has to change. That's why when I look at this passage, he says that just as Christ called, just says, and this is Mark 8:34. If they'll go to that scripture. So what does it mean to follow Christ? Here's what it means, 34. He says, if you want to be my disciples, you know, you must deny self. So this is what this looks like. Self has to deny self. Discipline comes from this word disciple. Disciple is discipline. And some of us, you know, we don't like the word discipline. Can I get a word witness? We don't like the word disciple either. We like disciple from the standpoint that we associate us with Christ. But it means that you must be disciplined. And when I look at this word and look at what Christ is saying, he's saying, I want you to deny self. Discipline means you've got to deny what you want to do. Deny self and then take up your cross and then follow me. So can I let you know that when it comes to following Christ, one of the first things we've got to do is deny self. So what does that look like? Self-denying self? So the old self is being denied by the new self. If any man be in Christ, he is a new. Old things have passed away. Old self stuff has passed away. And behold, all things have become new. So there's a new you. But the old you try to pop up every now and then. But you got to deny the old you. Can't get a witness? Old you ain't running nothing. But the old you, it can do some stuff and get you in some trouble. Can't get a good amen? So I have to watch myself. I have to watch myself and tell my old self that you're not running anything, because it's impossible to follow Jesus and you run it. The old you run it. Are you with me today? So let me share this as it relates to that whole passage, because my next point is this. Christ followers deny themselves, and it's just very plain and simple. Christ followers deny themselves. Well, what does that look like? Well, let me let you know that in America, and not only America, just being in this flesh, you know, it's a challenge. And this is personal to me because I struggle with self-denial on occasion. I'm not talking about, you know, beating self up. I'm not talking about self-hatred. I'm not talking about that. No, self-denial, and there's a big difference. When we're born selfish. Let me give a prime example. I've got, you know, several grandchildren, and I remember the last time we got together, one of the last times we got together, they all had gifts and so forth and so on, and one of them was upstairs, and because he was asleep, And then, you know, the girls were downstairs playing with all of the toys, and some of the toys were his. And but he was glad to see them. He was, you know, looking forward to them coming. They weren't there when he went to sleep, but when he got up, they were going to be there. They woke him up. He said, "Hey, you know, come on down and Victor, and see your cousins." And I remember just so boldly, he came down the stairs, and I was at the bottom of the stairs, and his eyes get big, and he sticks his hands out, and I'm thinking he's going to hug me or hug them, and his mouth flies open. He says, "Mine, mine, mine, mine." Man, I was thinking like, wow. And I thought about, you know, we have to teach him how not to be selfish. You know, and God has to teach us, how not to be selfish. Wow. I've been learning unselfishness ever since I've been, you know, walking with Christ, because, you know, man, being selfish is something selfish, and America kind of goes hand in hand. You know, have it your way, have it your way. Isn't that the song? So therefore, that doesn't work real well in a marriage. If everybody wants it their way. Oh, getting quiet in the marriage section. Hallelujah. I have to learn how to not be selfish. And it's not easy, I'm telling you. We live in a world where we take 1 million, more than 1 million selfies per day. 24 billion in a year's time. We're fascinated with self, and one's, you know, sometimes even self-gratification. Even the prodigal son, remember, he left because he wanted to take care of flesh. And I've been working on how to deny this whole flesh, because you're going to be battling with flesh for a long time. You know, my wife and I, I have to deal with, you know, we have to learn how to do that. I'm trying to make sure I say it right. On our first few dates, you know, and she knew how it should go, and I kind of knew how it should go, and we went on one of the first dates, went inside of, Brown's Chicken, and that's about what I could afford at the time, and I'm headed in, I got out the car, you know, I'm running, getting ready to go in, I'm standing, like, and she's still in the car. I'm thinking, like, is something wrong? And I went back and says, "Oh, you're supposed to open the door." Oh. I thought you better get in here and get some chicken before I eat it all. That's what I'm thinking. Selfishness on the way out. She's standing at the car again. I'm like saying, "What is wrong with her? Who made these rules anyway?" But we have to really work with this whole thing of being selfish, even when we're, you know, and I'm not sure if this happens to you, but sometimes you're at in front of the TV, and there's a remote control, and everybody knows that the man should have the remote control, especially during March Madness. Come on, somebody, can I get a witness? Hey, 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 hey! I'm just saying, it's March Madness. Quit playing, y'all. Quit playing. She comes home, "Honey, I just wanted to spend some time with you. Spend some time with me. Can we sit on the couch and watch Lifetime?"
Lifetime!
Little House on the Prairie. INSP. Oh, my. Deny flesh. What do you do, Doss? You're going to be okay. Sit on the couch, smile, deny your flesh, because your flesh wants to change the channel and say, "I'm tired, I'm the boss." But you don't do that. I'm just letting you know, folks, that you can't always have your way. You can't always have your way. And after you get through, it's a blessing when you do it God's way. It's a blessing when you do it God's way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah in this place. So what does it mean to follow Christ and to deny self? Let me give you another example. There's a recent survey of 1,000 Christians were asked the question, why does the church exist? 89% said that the church exists to care for me and my family's spiritual needs. Only 11% of them said that the purpose of the church is to win the world to Christ. Can I let you know that even in the church, we can be selfish and sometimes not even know it? Here's what it looks like. Wow, man, service was good today, man. I got my praise on. You know, the message was for me, and this was all about me. And man, I got my blessing. I got this. And then sometimes we sit on what God has done for us. But the thing is that it should be such an overflow that God has done this for me, and he's opened doors for me, made a way for me, changed my life where I was going. Now I'm not the same any longer. Now I want to bless somebody else. We should be so full that evangelism is just a part of who we are. It's an overflow of what God has done. It shouldn't just be, oh, yeah, this was good, man. They sang my song. It's like, no, it can't be a convenience mart for you. But we came to give. We came to minister. So what does it mean? What does it mean? Just before, I hope you're getting it, but one more illustration before I talk and give you a definition. There was someone that lived in this state. His name was Paul Powell some years ago, and Paul Powell had the power to put, you know, license plates like they should go. He's the equivalent of Jesse White today, but Paul Powell, well known in the history books as well. but they asked him the question. They said, you know, we want to get number one on our license plates. Another one said, well, I want to get number one on my license plates. And so several. He said, I can't do it for everybody. So since everybody can't have number one on their license plates, he says, I might as well put it on mine. He later on was known for the very fact that he only made about $30,000 a year. And he never made more than that, but when he passed, he had briefcase fulls of money, strong box fulls of money, over $750,000 in cash were found in his hotel suite, the St. Nicholas Hotel. And then he had, you know, if that wasn't enough, he had 49 cases of whiskey, cases, not bottles, 14 transistor radios, 2 cases of cream corn. I don't know where they might put that in there. And they said that he had gotten a lot of it through, you know, illegal things. Here's my point is that at the end of it, at the end of the day, we can be so selfish, and a lot of the things that all the things that we think we want still won't satisfy us. And you can't take nothing with you. Somebody give God a praise in this house. Can't take nothing with you. So what does it mean to deny self? It means, A, to give up your own way. Something that means to beat myself down. No, it doesn't mean that. It means to give up your own way of doing things. And, man, we have to really work on our own way of doing things because we can do things our own way and get us into some trouble, if you will. Can I get a witness in the house? I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. That I just need to know that what clock, put that clock, set that up so I can see. Because I don't want to go long because you know I get on a certain subject and I can get pretty excited. Hallelujah. So your own way of doing things, what does that mean? I've got a way of doing things. For example, if someone wrongs me, what's my first inclination? To get them back. Yeah, you tried it. You went there. You know, I'm coming for you. That's the natural way of handling business, you know, and I have to watch that too. If someone, you know, hurts you, you want to hurt them, but that's not God's way, you know. I want to let them know I'm mad at them, therefore I'm not going to forgive them, and I want them to know that I'm not forgiving them, and I'm letting them know that I'm going to look mean every time I see them. You've got to do what? That's what it means to deny self. Self says that I need to get you back. And God says, no, that's not the best way to do it. Follow me, follow me. He says, I'm going to show you when they smite me on my face, I'm going to be able just to turn and not even go back at them. Because if anybody had the power, he could have came off the cross and zapped whoever he wanted to. He could have popped whoever he wanted to at just the thought of it. He's God in the flesh that could come down, but he didn't stay up there because he was trying to get somebody back. Love kept him there. So can I remind you that in this life, we're going to have to deny ourselves, you know, some things that we want and some ways that we want to do it and say, God, I want to do it your way. Are you with me today? Somebody give him a good praise in the house. He's a good guy. Woo! Man, that's going to go a long way even when it comes to getting along with people. You can't fight everybody that's trying to pick a fight with you. You know, you can't just go there with them. I'm going to show them. I ain't no punk. And then I got my concealed carry too. I mean, we can really go to some places, and then we forget that it's not about us and doing it our own way, because, man, it will get you in some situations. The next thing is that denying Christ followers deny themselves, like they resist selfishness. And selfishness is something you're going to have to work on from now until you're out of this body. Man, selfishness really is something. I've been working on my selfishness, you know, on the selfishness. I'm working on denying it. Does that make sense? I recognize that I am selfish in some areas. Have any you all, anybody told you you're selfish? If they haven't, can I tell you? Man, we're working on it. And it's not that you'll be perfected in this body. Because even the other day, you know, I went to a Walmart and you know, I try to go when not a lot of people are there, but this time it was some people there. I was late at night and people are still there. And then, you know, I don't like going to those self-check things, and because self-check things, that's not how we were raised up. You know, self-check thing, you're supposed to, we pay for the money, you got to have a checker there to check me out, right? But that's my thought. But I ain't running Walmart, so... They had the self-checkers over there and the other checkers over here, and a lot of people were like me. They didn't want to be in the self-check, so they was in the line. And I saw a line that had almost nobody in it. So I kind of just moved real close with my cart. And I saw another person trying to beat me out. I started speeding up. Speeding up, why? Because I don't want that person to beat me out. This is my spot. I don't know what she has going on, but God is saying, hey, why are you in such a hurry? I don't want her to, you know, what if she gets there first, God? What would you have done? He would have beat us both there. No, I'm just playing. But we must resist selfishness. Do you know that our government is in more debt than it's ever been in before? When I was coming up, ministry started, I remember preaching and saying that, can you believe that our government is in $4 trillion worth of debt? Now that's $22 trillion worth of debt. We're the most indebted country in the world. They talk about how much we have, but how much debt do we have? There's an issue with that. There's no self-denial. People want what they want. And if they don't have it, they will charge it. Charge! Am I okay? Somebody give God a praise. In America, we spend 110 to 120% of our income. So how can you do that? That means you spend 100% and then charge an extra 10 to 20%. I want you to know that a lot of the stuff that the world is saying you need this, you really don't need, but you need to resist selfishness. Are y'all with me? Anybody glad they came today? Somebody give God one more praise. Woo! And then the last point I have on here is we must choose Jesus' way of doing things. You know, a lot of the things that we do, you know, it's just not the way he would do it. No doubt about it. There's a passage in the book of I want to say Matthew, And it's like the 38th verse, but it talks about the very fact that you have said that, it is this passage, it says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. How many of you know that sounds pretty good if you really want to fight? That's Old Testament. Somebody said, yeah, well, you know what the Bible say, bless God. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Yeah, he messed me. I'm getting him back. That's not the Christ follower way. If that's not what Christ would have done, then we shouldn't do it either. Are you with me today? And I know that's hard for us in the natural mind. You know, Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. And I tell you, one of the worst times in my life when I was holding on to bitterness and anger of what someone did to me. You know, you're not going to have life in the midst of all this stuff. Are you with me today? You're not going to enjoy life if you're holding on. And I don't know if I can say this today, but some folks holding on to stuff that groups of people did before they was even born. You know what they did to our people? Come on! You wasn't even here. Glory to your name. Moving on. He says, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. And he says, if anyone slaps you, now this is serious, slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek. They said, this is the only scripture in the Bible I don't agree with, right? I said, I ain't taking that. Pastor can say whatever you want to. Hit me, it's on. Now, understand, let me break it down a little bit. I actually was talking about a duel. You know, they take gloves and they smite you on one on the right cheek. And if you want to fight, you know, then you respond and you smite them back. But if you don't and you don't want to be in a duel, they smite you on that cheek. You say, go on and smite the other cheek because I'm not fighting. That's what it actually means. It don't mean somebody punch you in the mouth. I just want you to know. But he says, how many of us would squash so many fights and so many battles if we did it God's way? If we did it God's way. This next verse says, the 40th verse, I like this. It says, if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand it over and your coat as well. How many of would stop worrying about things and stressing over stuff? Because it's if you want to, go on and take. You want to beat me in line? Hey, have at it. You would have so much peace. You would not be worried about this, worried about that. Some people's worried about who's getting in front of them. They've got something I don't have. They've got the newest car. They've got the latest iPhone, and I want it too. Why do they have it? If they say, "Well, no, I'm taking this," hey, have it and have. If you live that life to operate in so much peace, you would be able to rest at night. Somebody give God a praise in this place. But this is what our Christ did. He says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, what does it say? Go. How many of you know this doesn't make sense? This is counterintuitive. You're trying to get back at someone. You're not doing it the right way. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I just want to let you know that God's plan is so much different than ours. His plan is so much different. And the reason his plan is different than ours, and I want you to go back, if you will, to Mark, the 8th chapter. And let's look at it in the NLT version. I think it's about the 35th verse. And that's a wonderful passage. And I'm going to share it with you while she's going to it. But it blesses me because he says something here. He wants to give us life. It's not just denying us ourselves, but he's doing this for a reason. He is saying, why do I want you to deny yourself? Because he says, if you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. In other words, if you try to do it your way and hang on to doing it your way, you're going to lose life. You think you're going to have life. You think you're going to feel better, but you're really not. You think you want to, if you hold on to that remote and you say, we're going to watch, you know, March Madness, I don't care what you say, you think you're going to have life, right? Oh, I'm going to have something, but it ain't going to be life. You think that if you hold grudges against everybody that's ever done you wrong, you think you're going to have life? No, that saps the life from you.
But God says, if you do it my way, if you learn how to embrace my way, I'll give you life, and it's lasting life. Somebody bless God real big in this place. So in other words, I'm not telling you to deny yourself for the sake of denying yourself. I'm not telling you to deny yourself for the sake of saying, well, I don't want you to have fun. I'm showing you how you can live life and live the abundant life. And if you do it the Christ way, you'll have abundant life. Somebody give him praise. Woo. My time is up, but I end on this note because next week I'll expand on this because we start a new series that connects with this one, which is called, Live Again. And it's amazing. If you want life, man, don't try to do it your own way. Are you with me today? I think of two scenarios. One, Christ is our example. Christ is sitting at the right hand of God in heaven. And there's a people that are hurting, a people that are broken, a people that need salvation. If he was selfish, you know what he did? You know what he would have done? Man, I'm cool. I ain't coming. You think I'm coming down there for them? You know what he said, though? Prepare me a body. I'll go down. I'll pay the price. Who wouldn't serve someone that with that kind of heart? He says, take up your cross. Follow me. So I can see this right now. Jesus says, somebody gotta do it. So I take the cross. The cross is a symbol of suffering. The cross is a symbol of shame because they strip your clothes and just leave something barely there to try to shame you. Now, I often thought, God, it wouldn't be bad for me to die for what you believe in if it was a quick death, if they shot me quickly. But they nailed his hands. And nailing in hands, it hurts. They nailed in his feet. He could have came down, but it wasn't the nails that held him to the cross. Wasn't the nails that held him to the cross. It was you, yet the love for you, the love for me. And because he loved me so much, I want to love somebody else. Somebody, y'all can stand on your feet. Come on, let's give him praise as you stand.